This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi there. Nice little sunny Friday. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here, Sam Panayotovic, Sal Capaccio, Paul Hamilton, maybe even Brian Koziol. We're kind of loaded up here today. It's opening day for a few different, of course they're different, right?
Home openers.
I don't need the word different. Opening day, home opener for several major league teams, including the Mets, who we have on now, the Red Sox, your favorite team, the Cubs. It just, you know, thought of it watching the Cubs in the first inning. It is pretty amazing that in 2025, a major league team has a brick wall for the outfield. Like a literal brick wall. Did the Bills consider that for the new stadium?
I don't know.
You don't have to run into it.
Yeah. There is at least some ivy. I mean, right, is that still – oh, it's not really in
it's,
season
it's
right
not,
now, is
no,
it?
No,
right?
It's just it looks like vines, just grass almost
right,
at this point.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
There's a brick wall behind – there is a brick wall there that you can run into. That's charming.
Are we sure it's still really bricks?
No. On the sides, it's padded.
Because I feel like that could be like faux padding made to look like bricks. I feel like that's out there. If it's not, it should be. I remember years and years ago going to Camden Yards, like maybe late 90s, going to Camden Yards with a buddy for a weekend. The station got me set up because I did a thing where I lived on a billboard for a week to raise money for a slain Buffalo police officer. And like the company, they're like, you know, that was a great job by you, great promotion, you know, something good for the community. What would you like to do? And I'm like, well, what are my options? we've got stations here and here and here. Is there anything, you know, travel-wise? I'm like, I'll go to Baltimore. Sure. So two tickets for three games. It was great. And one of the games, we were right on the, you know, right front row. And the warning track was fake. It wasn't real dirt.
Is that right?
Yeah. Hmm. I was like, this is shattering. I need this to be dirt. I don't know if
it looks like dirt.
Yeah, I don't know if that's changed since then, but it was like this. It was weird to me. Like it didn't even look The reason I'm even hesitating about I remember having the thought that's not real dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look safe, really, to like run on. I don't know. It looks slippery. Anyway.
Like a track or something.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what it was. Just but made to look like the same color as what the warning track dirt is. And that's the kind of thing that'll make you question, is anything real that I'm watching on TV? Well, what is happening here? So I've never been to Wrigley Field, so I've never been out to the bleachers, or I've never sat where I'm staring at the outfield walls there, and now I'm wondering if maybe they're fake. It's padded.
Maybe the whole thing is fake. Maybe it's not even a real place.
Yeah. Maybe they just have the bricks superimposed on there like the hockey ads.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a brick wall. We watched the guy run into it a few minutes ago, yeah. And you couldn't really see the wall. You just see the vines.
Yeah.
But I think it's a brick wall. Maybe I should have looked it up.
I think you're probably right. When you said that, it triggered this memory of this like sort of pebble, whatever.
Okay,
I don't even
yeah.
know what that warning track was in Baltimore at the time. It was
a laminate, some sort of laminate floor.
Weird, right? I'm like, what are we doing
here? I don't know.
Here?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, it is pretty cool right now. Like we a few years ago, it wasn't a draft, but we with Joe with us ranked the top 10 sports days. Didn't we remember
that? Yeah.
I don't know the results of that, but we all had different lists. And, I mean, four of most fans, I want to say, top 10, if you're just sort of like, these aren't necessarily my favorite, but like the best, the biggest, are right here. Like it's the first day of the NCAAs. The Final Four is tomorrow. It's opening day in baseball, which is pretty cool. I mean, I don't think you have to be a serious baseball fan to like, you know, the
no, fa- I think if you have a
packed.
You have a baseball team in your town, I think whether you care a lot about it or not, it's still a cool day.
It's the best
I
day
think
of
if you're
the
a
season.
Sports fan, if you're even a casual sports fan, oh, the Cubs are opening today, cool. You know, you're going to go down there? You know, that vibe, I think, would be there if you like sports even a little.
It's the best day of the season, right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe you have like 4th of July or Memorial Day or certain holidays.
Especially if
Harry Potter Day.
I think especially if you don't think your team's any good. You know, if you think your team's going to be good, then you've got, you know, you got 162 of these are, well, whatever, these are home openers, so they've already played a handful of games. But you get the point. You got a long way to go. And if you think your team's going to be good, you probably are looking forward to lots of highlights through the spring and summer and into the fall. But if you think your team is, you know, then opening day, but okay, let's get off to a good start here. Anything can happen. You're right. Get 10 games in and I'm 7-3. Like, hey, maybe I'm live.
I think, I don't know if this is exactly true for the Bills. I think it probably is for Bills fans. I know with the Sabres over the years when I was doing season tickets, the opener was the best. It was the game we kind of all wanted. When we would draft those tickets, I'd want to, you know if other people in front of me in the draft order, like maybe they couldn't go to the opener. I would want, that was always the game I wanted. Mm-hmm. It would be like the opener and then depending on if it's your cup of tea, the Leafs. Those were the big ones. So I think it's definitely true of baseball. It was how I felt with the Sabres. I think it's the best night of the year. Part of it is like season ticket holder. You see your friends again. Like it's your friends maybe that you go to games with, but it's also the people around you.
Yeah.
And for about 5 years, that was a special aspect of it. I mean, it changes over time.
I definitely think that is true for football in tenfold, a hundredfold, because it's not just the people you sit with, obviously, at football. There's a whole different element through the hours leading up to the game, and that's the same kind of thing. Like, you're not seated together, but, you know, you park in the same spot if you have that kind of connection or I don't want to say luxury, but you just, you know, people have their spots. And so it's totally conceivable to me you're going to go from January until September without maybe even having any contact with any of those people, depending on what your relationship is like. But then, oh, look, they're here. This is probably especially true in the camper lot, because those are people that maybe are traveling in some cases, although not always. Jeremy White and Molly have a trailer, and they live in North Buffalo, but they go out there with a camper for the home games. So I think that like adds to the allure of the opener in a way, because it's sort of homecoming. You know, you get back together with people. I love sort of getting lost in when I have the time to really sit with it and think about it, you know, because I have so much other stuff going on. But the things that sort of trigger the good feelings and the memories, you know, like what is it about opening day in baseball? What is it about the first Bills game, the home opener for the Sabres, like you're saying, like these things that trip wires for us that just make us want to be there? You know, they are just one game. You know, when they're over, you're gonna go, all right, well, better luck tomorrow if it doesn't go well. You know, like it's, at least the season's just beginning. There's still room for optimism. I love sort of the romance of all that, you know, like it's something that I was feeling this week, and at this time of the year, I really do start to feel it when it's light out longer and you've got hockey games that matter in the standings. And like, it's just been so long since we've had that it makes me almost belligerently angry that we don't get to enjoy that. It's just been taken from us. I mean, taken from us sounds a little harsh probably, but
it should be a pretty cool weekend. And
yeah,
it's just a weekend.
Yeah. Right. This way. Yeah.
Well, I think the point about, you were saying, I think about baseball, that opening day is especially the best if your team is bad. Like you're tied for first, you know, when you walk in for the opener. And I think football, for me, why football is different is that there are so many fewer games. And with that point, especially if you're good, like last year the Bills opened with Arizona, like you'd better win.
Yep.
The first hockey game, the first baseball game, it's a nice change from how it feels later in the season if you're a serious fan. Because really, it's like you're just kind of there for the occasion. It's not so much. It's not so important.
Right.
The Sabres hoisted the President's Trophy banner in September or October of 2007, and that was a tremendous night and everything like that. Although they had guys Drury and, you know, Briere left, and so it was a little bittersweet. But still, like you could celebrate a great season that had just happened. They lost to the Islanders that night, and like All right, well, it's one game.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you're right. The occasion is way more important than the result in a situation like that where you've got 82 or 100, well, 81 more or 161 more or whatever this is, 154 more, whatever for the Mets today. With, you know, these home openers have already played six games or whatever on the road or more. Yeah, it is. It's the festivity is what it is. It's, you know, it's not a parade, but it's sort of the same vibe. Like, hey, we're all here. Hey, this is cool. Yeah, we got a team.
I think the Bills thing with them being good, it's really sort of maybe down the middle for all that stuff, the getting back together with people and the community aspect of it. But also, like, okay, well, I mean, think about how last year went. They did beat Arizona.
Yeah, there's a different kind of pressure there, I think.
They had to. Like to be the one seed to have a chance at it, they kind of had to win that game. So that's fine. I mean, it's just a different. Mm-hmm. I think it's a different feeling for football in that way.
Yeah, it's a lot less relaxed. I think is at least I
it's
would
important
say
to win.
Yeah,
more so than it would be for any one baseball game.
Right.
So you had, like I mentioned, the start of the tournament. Everybody loves that first day of the tournament. The Masters is next week. The Masters made that list for us,
sure.
Like the top 10
yep.
days, whatever day it was. I mean, Sunday.
Sunday, maybe, yeah.
Masters Sunday.
Yeah.
And then the draft.
Yeah. The draft was...
Your number one
was
the draft.
What I, thank you for remembering that. I was feeling like I was going to need to remind you, because it surprised me. That might sound weird. Like it's my opinion. You think I would have a handle on that going into it, but as the thing unfolded, I ended up feeling like, you know, this day I used to hate that day. I would say partially that was somewhat work related because we'd be in here for 6 or 7 hours or something, like trying to not sound like I'm reading out of the Our Lads book or something. Like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, this is not my wheelhouse here. Like, I like football. I like college football. I know some of these players, but no, I'm not here to tell you about the tackle that the Browns just took with pick 28. I don't know anything about him. And so that made me uncomfortable. Once we got clear of that, I realized I love the draft. Like, no matter what I was doing, when it was still, you know, not on Thursday or Friday, and just on Saturday, noon, You know, it was often a nice day, and it's the time of the year, spring, right? Outside, pull the storm windows off and clean the inside windows and put the storms back on and whatever. And I would always end up gravitating back to the TV. It could be 80 and sunny, and I'm like, just okay, Dallas is on the clock. Like, I was gripped by it, and now I love it even more. Like, I just love the whole thing, the families, the whole, just all of it. And so, yeah, when we got around to doing that, I ended up with the draft as my favorite day. And I'm like, what? Me 5 years ago would have thought, what are you hammered? What are you talking about? But I love the draft now.
I like it. I don't love it like that. I don't get sentimental about a lot of that stuff quite to the same extent. The hugs bother me. But
well, I can make fun of the hugs,
the
with
Goodell
hugs.
Sure, yeah. Just yeah. What happened?
Yeah.
Those years, like the long days, some of those memories are Saturdays, like the draft would.
Mm-hmm.
Not now we have Saturday as day three, but remember when the Bills drafted Willis McGahee, or the day they had the Flyers here in the playoffs, the 8-0 clinching of that series, 2001 against Philadelphia. That's the first round of the NFL draft happening at the same time. You know, if that matters. I like it. I picked, for what it's worth, the week one in the NFL as my mm-hmm. favorite day. You know, I am an avid fantasy player, and I think what I would say I'd like most about this draft coming up, or most drafts, is just like where guys fall. You know, by then, even by now, I feel like I know enough about 20 or 30 different skill position players, at least, and finding out, all right, what's the landing spot and what does it mean? Is this a situation? Ashton Gentry goes to the Raiders, like that's perfect because nobody else is really there. Like it's all his. If he goes, probably it's all his. And so you know you sort of analyze that. If he goes to the Bears, which is another popular mock spot for Gentry, the running back from Boise State. Well, you know, maybe, probably, if you were going to pick him 10 overall, you would think so. But they do have Swift and even Roschon Johnson. Like, there might be, you know, they might sort of slow play that. And, you know, every receiver, every running back, really the whole way, by late Saturday, it doesn't really matter that much. But certainly the first day, the second day, it does. So I like it for that. Saying that, this year, I think this year has a chance to be kind of a letdown. The draft. You know, thinking of it from fantasy, thinking of it from the Bills' point of view, I mean, this is just one way of looking at it. They'll get somebody in the first round, you know, probably. Last year they traded out, but you know what I mean. And it'll maybe be a defensive tackle or a cornerback. And like, okay, we can say what we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
But without the skill position piece, the fantasy piece, it's not as intense for me. And I think the draft mostly will have that kind of vibe. Like there are maybe three running backs that go in the first round. Maybe it's four receivers. Maybe it's two quarterbacks. Maybe it's two tight ends or one. That's 10-ish out of 32. And so I think a lot, I mean, you can some people will it, who cares if it's a wide receiver or a linebacker, you know, or an offensive guard or something. There are those fans who are, you know, what's the difference? But for me, I think most of the middle of the draft will just kind of be there.
Yeah, I feel that. And I don't think that has to – I mean, it certainly does pertain to someone who's really into fantasy like yourself, but I'm not at all, and I feel that point. Like, the skill positions are more fun to talk about. They're more fun to – the highlights are more fun to watch, usually, right? Like, I will find myself getting much more lost in tape of some tight end or a wide receiver or even a running back than I will a safety or a corner. And I say that I don't stop and look at those or even go looking for them myself if it's someone that I think we're going to be talking about or I'm interested in just in general. But the skill guys, you know, they're the guys that have the ball. That's it. I mean, and what do you do when you sit down to watch football? I mean, some people have the capability, I know, I know some of them, to watch the other things going on. But, you know, most of us just go, where's the ball? Who's got the ball? Where's the ball going? Where's it going? You know, like, that's it. So when there aren't marquee skill guys there, you know, 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks to debate. And, you know, same with receiver and whatever. We're used to not having running backs. Maybe there'll be, I mean, could there be more running backs taken than receivers? I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you classify Travis Hunter. But still even probably not. But
probably not, but it could be the same. There could be three of each.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's just a big departure from, you know, years where we've had these loaded receiver classes and, you know, a handful of quarterbacks that you could think were possibly going to be right. chosen early. The best I can do beyond the top two guys is like, well, maybe someone will take a flyer on Jackson Dart. I really would be stunned if I came anywhere close to the first round on Milroe. My bet with you is top 16. Like, that feels dead to me. But, you know, nobody thought Penix was going 8 last year, so maybe somebody will surprise us in that way, and that'll give the draft a little juice if that happens. But, yeah, I think there's probably going to be a lot of, you know, I don't know, unsexy picks.
Yeah.
I was listening to Greg Cosell with Chris and Steve on the way in on One Bills Live, and Greg made that point that, like, this first round, you're very likely going to see maybe more than you usually see guys picked in the 20s, say, who consensus on was they're in the 40s or 50s. And, you know, by virtue of that, it's not like a linear trade, but guys that had, you know, we thought, mock drafters thought, whatever, a lot of analysts thought guys would go in the middle or late first round won't go until the second round. Or who knows, maybe even later. And that, I think, that uncertainty is due to how we've been reading and hearing about this draft the entire time. There just isn't a lot of blue chip, and there's a lot of it's kind of a plateau from, you know, like some, I don't know, 10, maybe even earlier than that, into like 40 50. Or 50. Yeah. Which that should produce surprises.
That's
and
right.
Maybe that'll be interesting. You know, like, maybe Mel Kiper will I can't believe they picked that guy. And maybe like Mel's best available. Maybe there'll be a guy that's on Mel's best available all night Thursday night. It's just like he's there, like, and teams are just going a different direction.
Right. I mean, I do think the first four picks, top three, four, are really interesting to see what happens. And I hope that it isn't known by that night. I mean, I think Tennessee is playing the game where probably they'll pick Cam Ward, but they're still talking like they don't know. And hoping, maybe, not that they would even necessarily take it, but that they get some dream offer and move. But they want you to think that they're still working that out and they're still available. But, you know, that's probably what happens there. They need a quarterback, so why not take the consensus best? That could look really bad for a long time if they don't, and he's good. Then you have the Browns and the Giants, who are both really interesting teams. I hope for the sake of the draft and the conversation that Sanders seems plausible enough of an idea as we go for the next couple of weeks here at 2 or 3. I mean, you have people who think the Giants, even though they signed Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, still would do that. I have a tough time believing that, but they don't have a future guy at all. So they could. The Browns could. If they don't, I don't know. Like, if the Browns pick Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, then I think I would expect them to pick one with their next pick, trade up or beginning of the second round. But it would really be a judgment on Sanders if they don't do that. And then by the time you get to New England,
it's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Jacksonville, we might be looking to tackle defensive line, and then we're at that point. And
right.
Where Genty goes will be interesting. But, you know, last year...
The first receiver goes, but outside of Travis Hunter again.
Right.
Keep saying that disclaimer.
But again, like last year, to the point, what did I say, 10 out of 10 picks in the first round maybe will be quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. Last year, we did this with Matt Harmon yesterday. Out of 34 picks, including Keon Coleman and McConkey.
Yeah.
You had 9 receivers, 6 quarterbacks in the top 12, no running backs in this group last year. Jonathan Brooks was the first, and he went after 34. He went a mid-second or whatever. Then and Bowers. So like half.
Right.
Basically half of your first round was this. So it does make a difference for I think probably most fans. You can bet the draft. The props are out on a few different sites. We can bring that up with our guest after the break, Sam Paniatovich. From Bet Sweats, Odyssey Betting Insider. Sal will join us at 4. He was out at that ceremony today where they... I mean, it made it seem like the stadium was done. I've never heard of a thing called a topping out ceremony. I love that they even built a stage with the words topping out ceremony in all caps. That's a thing. Maybe if I knew construction, I would know.
Yeah, that's right.
Out ceremony.
I think that's what's necessary to know about that.
It couldn't just be a thing. It had to be called something. But we'll talk to Sal about that and more. Paul Hamilton as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, back with Sammy P after this on WGR.
It's not a class for, like you say, blue chip talent, peak talent. Like I talked about the edge rushers. It's not a class for 10 plus, 12 plus sack guys. Wide receiver class. This is not a class for like 100 catches, over 1,000 yards every season. Like 5 guys go in the first round. But you start looking at some of these names, some of these big guys who can play in the slot, and some of these small guys who can stretch the field. And you're like, man, if you can't find useful players out of this, you ain't looking.
Benjamin Solak now with ESPN on One Bills Live, maybe yesterday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. Sal Capaccio will join us later. Paul Hamilton as well. And right now on the West Her Hotline is Sam Paniatovich, the host of Bet Sweats. And he is an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. As you know, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Be sure to catch Bet Sweats 9 to noon weekday mornings on the newly rebranded BetMGM network on the Odyssey app and on the Bet 1520.
I was just thrown off for a second, Sam. We're streaming this, right? YouTube and the Twitch, where all the kids are. And there was just a shot of Mike that I had never seen. I know that there's a camera over in the corner. But I just saw you just now. That whole intro was you with that shot. And there it's back again. Thanks, G. That threw me off. I hadn't really seen you like that before.
Well,
it's like you're on Skycam or something.
I love it. Love being able to come up with new content after all these years. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, Mike. It's great to hear that Bulldog made it back in one piece from vacation.
Yes.
Barely, but I did, yes.
Yes. We have...
Barely made it back in one piece.
He sounds better than ever. We've got a lot to go over.
I tried to drink all the rum in Puerto Rico. I gave it my best.
You a rum guy at all, Sam?
I can do whatever you want, except for Southern Comfort. No more Southern Comfort ever again.
I am not. So Mike used to have a rum party at the first house he and his wife lived in. Yes, we've been together long enough that we've had, you know, he's had more than one house in our relationship. And I never was a big rum guy, but then I started going on these vacations where there's a blender and tropical fruit available, and I just became blender rum drink guy. And I relish the opportunity. In fact, two nights or so before we left, my wife and I were sitting together, and I just out of nowhere said, rum drinks.
It's just a lot of work.
I'm happy to do the work.
It's just a little bit too much work.
There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, I took the recipe straight from Always Sunny, one of my favorite shows, when Danny DeVito makes the rum ham, right? Well, his idea of a rum ham is to just take the ham and drop it in a pool of rum.
Right, right. Yeah, it's not complicated.
Can't do that. So what I do every Easter, I am not kidding, I will happily post a picture when we're done talking here and tag you guys both in it. I do a rum ham every Easter. It is brown sugar, butter, and Meyer's rum, the dark rum. Yep. And you let that sit for about 20 minutes, and then you pour it over the ham, throw it in for about 4 hours. It is the best ham you will ever have, and I would highly suggest, maybe not at Easter, maybe try it out before Easter, right. But I do it every Easter now. My mom's always like, are we having rum ham? I'm like, yes, Mom, relax.
Rum ham.
I am so happy to learn of this.
Writing it down.
We had the Danny DeVito rum ham, we had that in an open at some point on this show.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah,
we did.
The rum ham.
Sam Panayotovic, noted Rockies fader or hater, if you prefer. The Rockies are 1-5, but, Sam, their starters ERA so far is 1.35. The Rockies, who never get pitching, they're on the road, but still, like, they never get pitching. They get 1.35 ERA from their starters through the first week, and they're 1-5.
I would bet that that does not last. I can only imagine how much worse it's going to get when they start trading guys off, because this is a team a lot like the White Sox last year that's going to the bottom. There's no hope. There's no reason to keep anybody good. So if guys like Kyle Freeland, for example, have a solid April and May, they're going to trade him June or July. They're going to be getting rid of anybody that has a pulse. And with an ERA of 1.35, they are still 1-5. They can't score. They have 11 runs in 6 games. And I know Sneaky Joe is really happy right now because he's got, what, under 62.5 on the season?
I don't know what the number ultimately was. You mentioned it. It might have been 60.5 when you mentioned it. Somewhere in there.
They're not getting there either. It doesn't matter. I mean, this is probably the worst team in baseball. The Pirates are 2-5. They're better than that. The Braves are better than 0-7. The AL Central, every team's going to have around like 65, 70 wins, but this team, the Rockies, think about this. The Dodgers and the Padres are 15-0 combined. The Giants are 5-1. The D-backs are 4-3. Where do the wins come in the division for Colorado? I don't know.
Right. Cincinnati has managed to lose 1-0 3 days in a row. That's pretty good. You don't see that a lot.
Only to be outdone by the Marlins winning their first 3 games against Pittsburgh in walk-off fashion. The Pirates were 0-3 with 3 walk-off losses.
Bad team staying bad. Sam Panayotovic on the Wester Hotline. The final four this weekend. I'm getting the sense here, Sam, that everybody bet Duke. I mean, you were all about Duke to the final four, and it was close to even money. That made it kind of easily. What's on the line? You often bring up the sports books. Like, are they really at risk here because of Duke?
Well, they tend to get a little hyperbolic. We had Patrick Everson on our show today, who's a very big Vegas reporter, and he used the quote, if we can get Duke out, we could take off the oxygen mask. Yeah. That's from one of the sportsbook directors. Now, I don't really believe that, but you have four of the favorites in the Final Four. The liability isn't really all that big on a lot of these teams. I think the problem with that Duke quote, not the problem, but the truth behind it, is that you had people like me talking about Duke for the last 3 months. And, like, people watch Duke in the tournament and go, oh, yeah, Duke's good, and they bet Duke. So I think it's a compilation of people that bet it in January and February, but also people in March and into this tournament that just kept adding on at, you know, 4-1, 3-1, 2-1. And now at one book, they're minus 110. I'm looking at BetMGM right now, still minus 110. And it's very funny, you know. Guys will lay minus 110 every Sunday in the NFL. But I'd say, hey, you should bet Duke -110. Ah, I don't know. Okay, all right. So we pick and choose our -110. Let me throw this at you guys. Since you can no longer bet Duke at a plus price, what about Duke and Scottie Scheffler to win the Masters at 10-1?
This is your kind of thing.
This is absolutely my
combining
kind of thing.
Sports.
Yes. I'm totally here for that. Yes.
Okay. So if it's not Scheffler, somebody doesn't like Scheffler, how about Rory? If you do Duke and Rory, it's 14. If you do Duke and Rahm, it's 31. If you do Duke and Luda Oberg, it's 35-1.
What are those guys, or just a couple of them on their own?
So the current field right now, Scheffler's just shy of 5-1. Okay. Rory's about 7. Morikawa, 14. Rahm and Oberg are 16.
So you're doubling.
Chambo, 18.
You're doubling.
Yeah, basically.
The bet, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said the first college basketball I heard from you this year was just Duke and Auburn. Don't even worry about anything else. Duke and Auburn. Too bad you got them on the same side. I mean, I don't know. If you had futures bets on both teams, better off if, Auburn's on the other side. But still good.
Well, no, Auburn plays Florida on the left side, and then Duke's got Houston.
Oh, I'm wrong anyway. So, good then. Sorry, I was thinking that it was
it's
opposite
fine.
Of that.
I'm actually glad you made this colossal mistake. I have heard so much Florida the last 2-3 weeks that it's jumped the shark, guys, because it really was for 5 months. It was Duke, Auburn, and then everybody else. And now Florida's a 2.5-3 point favorite on Auburn, and I'm just not there. The status of Jani Broome's a big deal. He's their best player. He left the game in the Elite Eight and then had to come back. He looked a little off. They say he's going to go, but I think this should be a pick 'em. Now, look, it's not like me to make a huge bet in the Final Four because these are very tight lines, and I don't really have that much of an edge. But I don't think Florida should be 2.5-3 points better than Auburn. So piggybacking off what you said, Duke and Auburn, well, now it's Duke and Florida in the eyes of everybody, and I'm just not there from a number standpoint.
Yeah. How good should this weekend be? And does the tournament need, like, I don't know, does it need redemption? The whole thing unfolded while I was in Puerto Rico, so, like, I'm not going to BS you. I didn't watch a second of it. But, it, you know, with all the favorites, all the one seeds, everything, it feels like it was in the first couple days I was keeping track of it while I was traveling on Friday. And it just, you know, there wasn't the upsets and the buzzer beaters. It just felt like a kind of And I wonder if you feel like the tournament needs the juice of a really dynamite close weekend here.
I don't know if it needs the juice, and I apologize. I'm in the middle of the Reagan Airport right now. In case you're wondering, the flight to Seattle's been delayed, in case you guys are wondering. Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I'm not on it, so I don't care. The last time and the only other time we had four number ones was 08. That was Kansas, Carolina, Memphis, and UCLA. And both Final Four games were blowouts. So you would think having four number ones is going to be great basketball, and I hope we get that. But it doesn't mean that we will. My thing is I don't think anybody can touch Duke, and that's not a hot take coming from me, as you guys know. I've been talking about it for months.
Yeah.
Houston has elite defense, but as we've seen all year in all tournament, elite offense beats elite defense. And Duke has, I mean, they have three top 10 picks along with the number one pick, Cooper Flagg. So I think Duke's going to win and maybe pull away in the second half. Florida Auburn should be a good game. We did see that earlier this year in SEC play. Yeah. I think that's going to be the game of the day. And then, you know, Monday you get Duke, Florida, or Duke, Auburn. Now watch Houston win, because I've been throwing shade at them all segment. I think it's going to be the highest basketball level we've seen all season, because these are the four best teams, quite literally.
Yeah,
so
no.
It's
yeah.
a good ball, but I don't know that the games are going to be close, Bulldog.
Yeah, I was waiting to say here, I don't know how much you keep track of the KenPom efficiency ratings. It's not something that I really invest a lot of time in at all, but I'm reading from Jay Billis at ESPN.com earlier today that these are the four best teams in that ranking, and not only that, they are in the top 10 all time since these rankings started being made available, which goes back to 1997. Duke is 2 all time, Houston 6, Florida 8, Auburn number 10. I mean, that is pretty impressive.
It very much is. You know what's ironic, though, about that list? That 98-99 Duke team on top, the best team ever or so, they lost in the championship to UConn. That was the Rip Hamilton year at UConn. So the truth is, in every college basketball game and in any NFL playoff game, you have one bad period, one bad quarter, one bad half. Sometimes that's enough to hold you back. I do think Duke's going to win it all, but I did have to laugh when I saw that list that the best team ever in the history of KenPom didn't even win the championship.
Best NFL team ever may be the Patriots in 07, who lost. I don't know. That's part of sports, as you're saying. Sam, what about the NFL draft? Are you there yet?
Yeah, I'm here. I have Colston Loveland. I bet him under 19.5. He's a tight end from Michigan. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at this number too, guys. It's so wild because we talked about Shedeur Sanders like a month ago, and I remember saying, like, give me 4.5 and I'll go over, you know, to go fifth or higher. They put a number up, one of these books, 8.5, and I don't even know what to do with 8.5. Do you?
Wow. Well,
I mean, when we first talked about it, I would say push it to go. I would go over. But now it seems to me, it certainly sounds more like he could go in the top five.
I keep reading mocks with him third. Okay. And if I was picking third, I'm not a GM. I only play one on this segment from time to time. I would not take him third. He's not ready. And you're going to throw him into a spot and play right away. And I just think that's a disaster waiting to happen. But 8.5 sort of makes me do a double take. I don't know what to do with 8.5. And if you want to bet Cam Ward now to go first,
-20,000
to win 100.
Yeah. Well, the Giants could take Sanders, and they've got two guys that'll be ahead of them. I mean, they gave Winston some money, and they also signed Russell Wilson. So we talked about that already earlier today. Not sure if it makes sense, but they could still do it, and that's a spot where he would have all the time he needs, I would think, to develop.
I have to ask you guys, what do the Bills do? Because we do have a market on what position the Bills do with the first pick that they have. What do you guys think?
There's corner and there's defensive tackle, and I'm not sure there's anything else.
Okay, well, that's the odds. D-line is 140, cornerback is 260, and then safety's 4-1.
Corner would be, if I were to bet that and pick one, it would be corner. And the Giants, it's just such bad management if they do that. Why do they even need Winston? And Sanders would still be the same top five pick on a rookie deal, no matter how many other quarterbacks they have on the team. 8.5 is because New Orleans is at 9, and New Orleans is considered like a possibility for him. I think it's the kind of draft maybe, though, Sam, where teams move up like all the time because they've got their preference 2-3 picks away. And I mean, this can always happen, but it's considered so flat from 8 or 10 or so all the way down into the second round that just go up for the position, the player you want, and not worry about it. With all the comp picks now too, teams can throw around fourths and fifths. I could see, even if it's the Saints, who always are trading their picks, sitting there at 9, wanting Sanders and moving up a couple spots to get him and finding a team that would be fine with that.
I think one of those guys, not to go back to Colston Loveland, but I think he's very live to go to the Colts at 14. And if he makes it past 14, you could see a team, you know, trade up and take him. I mean, pass-catching tight ends are such a big deal now. You know, the guys in Buffalo, guys like Kelsey, you know, guys like that, just like pass-catching tight ends are a big deal. So I do like that number. I'm laughing at this. The Bills to take a quarterback with their first pick is 400-1. That's very funny.
Probably bad bet. How about Loveland for first tight end? That could be a good price.
It's a good price, but I don't think he's going to go before Tyler Warren from Penn State. That's the only problem. His number, just for context, is 9.5. So he's 9.5. Loveland's 19.5. The math tells you it's probably not a winner.
I would definitely bet the over on Warren. I like Loveland as first tight end. I'd bet 9.5. I mean, what is it, Chicago at 10? Where are the Jets? The Jets are in that 8 range, whatever, the 6, whatever it is. I don't know. Kincaid, who was the first tight end picked 2 years ago, was not supposed to be. It was supposed to be Michael Mayer.
Right.
And
the other Raiders tight end.
Yeah, the first Raiders tight end. And Kincaid didn't work out at the combine. But he still got there, so I think it's early. I heard Evan Silva say this on his Establish the Run podcast this week, and it makes sense to me, that it's still early enough where you'd want to bet long shots. because it's going to change a lot in the next couple of weeks. So this is going to sound like it's changing a lot. So, all right. I'm excited to do it. I'm in the process of downloading directions to a place where I can, it's called Pennsylvania, where I can do, maybe you've heard of it, where you can actually make these kind of bets. So I'm excited about that. Just need a window.
Okay. Well, while you get the directions to Pennsylvania, I'm going to work on finding the best picture I can of the rum ham and slap it on X for you guys.
The rum ham.
I need to see rum ham. Although, I don't know. You painted a pretty graphic picture already with your words, Sam. You're quite the artist. So I want to see the picture, but I think I got it. I think it's going to be a ham soaking in rum.
Careful out there.
I put the pineapple in there, too, the pineapple
don't,
chunks at
don't
the bottom.
Don't forget the pineapple. Right.
Careful out there. Rafael Devers is up to batting 107.
Oh, baby. Him and Trout. Him and Trout are at a race to the bottom. They're both really bad right now.
Well, I assume you're catching a flight, so have a good trip.
No, I landed. I was hanging out for you guys, okay. And now I'm off to see the Wizard.
All right. Thanks, Sam. Talk to you next week.
All right, guys. See ya.
Sam Paniatovich, Bet Sweats. Weekday mornings on the Bet 1520 and the Odyssey app. Dylan Cruz, the prospect, one of the top, considered top prospects in baseball on the Nationals, I saw today, 0-4-18 with 10 Ks is how his career is starting. That's not great. Cam Smith, another top prospect in Houston. I know Devers and Trout are not prospects, but Cam Smith in Houston off to a slow start. You know, you see some of these young guys make the team, always like when it happens, they don't get sent down even though they seem like they obviously deserve it because of the service time stuff. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that they can just walk in the cold sometimes and right. Just wreck major league pitching. That's doing a lot. All right, Sal coming up at 4. We will talk about the stadium ceremony today. The off-season program dates came out yesterday. And more Bills topics, always some draft in there with Sal as well. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The Sabres play tomorrow night and Sunday night, 7 and then 6 for their games Saturday and Sunday against Tampa and Boston, both at home.
Thank you. Right. Sorry.
All right. Ovechkin tonight.
You had it. I didn't need to. Yeah. Hosting Chicago.
Hosting Chicago.
And Gretzky is on his way. Like he's going to be there from now until whenever. You know, whenever the record falls.
2-3, 3-win. And NHL Network, I think, for this game tonight.
Oh, great. Where's Travis Yost with nobody will be able to watch it?
Now, why would that be?
I think it's not as readily available. We're lucky we have it on our streaming service of choice. But I don't think it's as widely distributed as some other channels may be. So Travis is always there when there's if there's a game on like a Saturday afternoon and for some reason it's only on NHL Network, he'd be like, great, this looks like a great matchup. Too bad no one's going to be able to watch it.
Okay.
And I'm always like, I get NHL Network.
Will you watch this game tonight?
I'm going to watch it.
I would think you would.
I don't know what I'm going to do tonight. My wife's worked a couple nights in a row and we've got a night together tonight, so it might be a movie night or something. So I don't know.
But she's not captivated by this.
Probably
goal scoring record.
No,
she's not into it.
No.
Sal next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. WGR.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.